Hello and welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Alana Glatt, and today we will be studying Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Bet, Chapter 12. Before we enter Perek Yud Bet, let's quickly frame the moment we're stepping into for today. Perek Yud Aleph was a true high note in our Sefer so far. Shaul HaMelech, imbued with bravery and courage from Hashem, truly stepped into his role as King of Israel in yesterday's Perek. And he proved himself to be the very leader the B'nai Israel had been asking for. He successfully unified the nation, and miraculously he saved the B'nai Israel from Nachash, who, as we learned yesterday, was the evil king of Ammon, who cruelly tormented the people of Yavesh Gilad, insisting that they poke out their right eyes in exchange for peace. With the B'nai Israel all on a high from this incredible miracle, the Perek ended off with Shmuel regathering the people, this time at Gilgal, to re-coronate Shaul as the king of Israel. At this point in our Sefer, the monarchy is now real, established, and thriving. And precisely now, at this moment of success, turning to our Perek for today, Perek Yud Bet, Shmuel will now gather all of the B'nai Israel yet again. This time, though, to give over a powerful, honest, and emotionally charged farewell speech to the B'nai Israel. As we'll see together today, Shmuel is going to reprove the people for their wrongful decision to ask for a king, a major theme of this speech, and a topic we've already spent much time discussing. But he's doing so precisely now, on the tail end of this momentous victory, and with the Melucha already firmly established, in order to make it clear to the B'nai Israel that he's not looking to turn back the clock or to retake any leadership role for himself or for his family. Nothing in this speech is at all personal. Rather, it's all going to be guided through nevuah, through prophecy. And he's specifically rebuking the people now, as he's coming upon age, in order to set them on the proper path for the future moving forward. Psukim Aleph through Bet. Shmuel, who, like many great leaders of the B'nai Israel, chose to reprove the nation before he dies, now opens up his final speech to the B'nai Israel. Vayomer Shmuel, Akol Yisrael, Hinei Shemati B'Kochem, L'Chol Asher Amartem Li, V'Amlich Aleichem Melech. Shmuel says to all of B'nai Israel, behold, I have listened to all that you have asked of me, and I have crowned a king over you. V'Yata, Hinei HaMelech, Mitalich Lefnechem, V'Ani Zakanti V'Savti, U'Banai, Hinam Etchem, V'Ani Hitalachti Lefnechem, Min Urai Ad Hayom Hazeh. And now, the king, he goes before you, but I have become old and gray. As for my sons, here they are with you. And as for me, I have walked before you from my youth until this day. We know that Shmuel has been the leader of the B'nai Israel, or at least serving them, since he was a very young child. Shmuel opens up his speech mentioning, with a double language, how he has become old, Zakanti v'Savti. And he's doing so purposely in order to emphasize how devoted he has been to Klal Yisrael his entire life. And that despite the fact that all of his work on their behalf has aged him, perhaps even prematurely, as we've mentioned, many Mefarshim point out that he's only 50 here at the time of this speech, but that his work for the Klal made him old. He would not give up anything from his time serving them. And he's also doing so right now to set the record straight. I'm old. I'm not looking for any new roles. I'm not even looking to step back into the role I'm in. All the words that I'm about to tell you in this perek, in this speech, are completely l'shem shemayim. They're coming directly from Hashem and meant to enter into each and every one of your hearts. He also notes about his sons. Uvanai hinei etchem. I'm not looking for my sons to be the next leaders either. They've already stepped back from their roles and they want a king just as much as everyone else in the B'nai Israel does. They'll be subservient to him in precisely the same way as everyone else. Again, doubling down this idea, all Shmuel is going to share now in this impassioned speech is completely for the sake of Hashem and his honor and for the betterment of the Jewish people themselves. And before he gets into more direct rebuke towards the people, he uses the next few psukim, psukim gimel through hey, to clarify another thing to the B'nai Israel. He says, here I am today, standing in front of you at this farewell gathering. Please come and testify against me here and now in front of anyone. Please let me know whether I ever wrongly took anything from anyone, chas v'shalom. If anyone feels I owe him anything at all, please come forward and tell me. I will repay it right away. Is there anyone whose ox have I taken or used for my own personal use? Did I ever take or use anyone's donkey for any of my journeys? Did I ever take money from anyone who feels I didn't deserve that money I had taken? Is there anyone from whom I ever even remotely took a bribe in any way and let them escape punishment that really he was deserving of? If I ever committed any of these sins, please come forward now and tell me. I will make sure to compensate the victim right now, right away, in front of everyone. Shmuel is inviting public scrutiny here, and with all of the B'nai Israel in attendance, not even one person has anything they can report or respond back. As we learned earlier, Shmuel was very meticulous in his practice of never taking anything from the public, even things he was deserving of. He stayed as far away from gaining any personal benefit from public funds or possessions, highlighting the high level of honesty and yashrus of Shmuel, a midah we can aspire towards in our own lives. And the people then respond in unison, "You have taken nothing from us," a unified voice, absolute clarity. And Shmuel then adds, "Hashem is your witness," and the people respond back, "A witness." And Rashi notes here that a heavenly voice itself came forth and declared, "I am a witness." Hashem himself testified to the people that Shmuel was not only righteous publicly, but privately as well, through and through. Shmuel here is making the point without making the point directly. Didn't I live up to the leadership? Wasn't I extremely honest and a devoted leader to you? And yet you still rejected me? And no one from the B'nai Israel has anything to respond. They agree that Shmuel really was the ultimate leader for them. Now Shmuel pivots slightly in his speech. In Psukim Vav through Yod, he shifts to the next part of his speech, namely showing the B'nai Israel that their request for a king was a sign of ingratitude to Hashem himself. Through taking them on an abbreviated tour through Jewish history, he's going to point out to the B'nai Israel that the people always had to deal with adversity, even without having an established king to save them, but that Hashem always does save them when they finally look inwards and recognize their own sins and their own failings that brought them to that very spot in the first place. He mentions how when B'nai Israel were desperate and stuck in their plight in the lands of Mitzrayim, and they call out to Hashem, Hashem sent them, Moshe and Aaron, to redeem them. But then the people forgot Hashem, and so he delivered them into the hands of Sisra, the main general of Chatzor, and into the hands of the Plishtim, and into the hands of the king of Moab, and they fought them. And then again, the B'nai Israel cry out from the oppression they were facing. And now mentioning the Shoftim cycle and zooming forward many years, the very pattern we're about to discuss, and Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayishlach Hashem et Yerubbaal, ve'et Bedan, ve'et Yiftach, ve'et Shmuel, ve'yitzel etchem yad oyvechem misaviv, v'toshvu betach. And so Hashem sent Yerubbaal. This is referring to Gidon, by the name he was given for standing up against the Baal. And Badan, this is Shimshon, who came from the lower Shevet of Dan. And Yiftach and Shmuel. Here he refers to himself in the third person because he's giving over a nevuah, as it is told. And Hashem delivered you from the enemies around you, and you dwelt in security. Rashi notes here that this pasuk lists three lower weight leaders, as he refers to them, Gidon, Shimshon, and Yiftach, in comparison to three world important leaders, Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel themselves, to show us that every leader in each generation is considered equally great in importance to Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel themselves. Even with less prominent leaders, B'nai Israel accepted them and returned back to the proper ways of Hashem. They didn't beseech Hashem for a king at any of those earlier points. They recognized that as long as they returned back to the ways of Hashem, Hashem would then continue to save and protect them. It had been their fault all along for the sufferings they faced, time and again, their fault and not the leader. And now he continues, Pasuk Yud Bet, and you were scared because of Nachash, the king of Ammon, threatened you. We learned yesterday's parak. And you asked for a king. But really, Hashem himself was your king all along. If you would have done teshuvah, Hashem could have helped you against Nachash, even without a king. He can save you through anyone he chooses to, if only you turn to him and recognize that he is truly your savior. This really puts a bit of a damper on yesterday's parak, when we, along with all of the B'nai Israel, were on a high from watching Shaul miraculously defeat Ammon and properly rise to his role as defending the B'nai Israel. But again, Shmuel is not trying to discredit Shaul or to undo what already now exists. He just wants the B'nai Israel to realize that they were wrong in thinking that a king would be the main solution, and that Hashem is truly the one and only true Melech, king over them. This is precisely the main take-home message we will now see in Pesukim Yud, Dalet through Tetvav. Im tir'u et Hashem v'avadetem oto u'shmatem v'kolo v'lo tamru et pi Hashem v'yitem gam atem v'gam ha'melech asher malach aleichem achar Hashem elokeichem. Now that you have a king, if you fear Hashem, worship him, and obey him, and not rebel against Hashem's command, then you and the king who reigns over you will remain following after Hashem, your God. You'll have the kingship continue. Ve'im lo tishmu'u b'kol Hashem, u'miritem et pi Hashem, v'ayta yad Hashem b'chem u'v'avoseichem. But if you do not obey Hashem, and you flout Hashem's command, Hashem's hands will strike you as it did your ancestors. Shmuel's reframing everything here. You have a king, Baruch Hashem, but you must know this equation. If you follow Hashem, you and your king will succeed. If not, you and your king will fail. The king will not determine your fate. You do. Here, Shmuel shifting the responsibility back to the Bnei Israel. And now Shmuel recognizing that Eino domesh shmia lere'ia, you cannot compare hearing to seeing. He's now about to bring a demonstration, a sign, to prove that all he's been saying has been divinely guided. It's true and from Hashem. Shmuel now says in Pasuk Yud Zayin, you might be thinking, but Hashem agreed to our request, so it must have been okay, no? I'm going to show you. It's now the season of the wheat harvest, he says. No rain ever falls in Eretz Yisrael during this time, as it's harmful because it prevents the harvested wheat from drying properly and it can actually ruin the entire crop. But I will now daven to Hashem, and he's going to bring forth thunder and rain. Pasuk Yud Chet. So Shmuel calls out to Hashem, and he brings forth crashing thunder and booming lightning and rain, something we actually experienced this past Friday night amidst this current war with Iran, deciphering and trying to figure out what was powerful thunderous booms coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what were actual booms of missiles that were being targeted or impacted that might need us running to a shelter. It's a pretty crazy moment of recognizing the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his nature. And Pasuk Yotet, and the people became super frightened, and they asked Shmuel to daven for them, recognizing and admitting that they have done the wrong thing in asking for a king. Seeing Shmuel bring this powerful and untimely rain both really scared the Bnei Israel, but it also confirmed to them three important things. The first, they realized with this crazy rainstorm that Shmuel's spiritual power and his connection to Hashem surpassed that of any king, and they had wrongly undervalued him and his leadership. The second, they understood that timing matters. Like rain, a king can be a blessing or a curse depending on when it's given, something we discussed previously that the Malvim addresses when speaking about the issue of asking for a king. And the third, and they learned that Hashem granting a request doesn't mean that he approves of it. It may still be harmful to them. The parak now ends off, though, with five beautiful psukim, chaf through chaf hey, with Shmuel reassuring the Bnei Israel that they have nothing to fear at all. As long as they stay loyal to Hashem, moving forward, he will never forsake or leave them. True, the rain freaked them out. True, the lightning and the thunder was scary. And true, it showed to them just how wrong they had been. The pasuk tells us, "Ki lo yitosh Hashem et amo ba'avor shmo hagadol, ki ho'il Hashem la'asot etchem lo la'am." For Hashem will never abandon his people for the sake of his great name. For Hashem has sworn to make you for a people unto him. In Avodas Hashem, the next best path you can take is the next path forward. Keep growing. Keep striving for better. Keep to Hashem in his ways, and he will always be with you. A Jew is never too far gone. Look ahead. Look forward at rekindling and repairing your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can always make amends. I remember hearing once from a noted psychologist that she mentioned the most important parenting tool. It's not perfection, but it's repair. Fixing mistakes and creating a healthy path to move forward is one of the most important tools that a parent can use in parenting, and we can use in all relationships in our lives. And Shmuel notes that he too will never stop davening for the Jewish people. He says, "I will always be here for you, davening for you and striving to guide you on the proper path. This was never personal, and I am always and will always be here as your guide." As we close our learning of this parak for today, we can leave off summarizing Shmuel's impassioned speech with one profound thought. The Bnei Israel came into this moment thinking that the answer to all of their problems was a better leader, a king. But Shmuel today teaches them that really the full solution is not a better leader, it's a better people. It's not the king, not the shofet, not the system. It's really us, our choices, our tshuva, our relationship with Hashem. Thank you so much for learning this parak together. Today's parak is dedicated to the safety and peace of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. May the words of Nach uplift us and give us strength during these challenging times.